This is a Voyascape podcast. You can find all of our travel podcasts from around the world at voyascape.com.
Hey, this is DeAndre here, and I wanted to make sure you haven't forgotten about our free stay for up to 5 nights in an Airbnb in the world-famous Tulum, Mexico, that we are giving away in partnership with Greenwood Tulum, and that ends May 31st. Click the link in the show notes for details on how to be eligible to win. Now, on to the show. Today, we have an episode like no other. Hear from Steven of The Lover's Passport of how he and his wife went from starting a couple's travel account on Instagram 4 years ago to now having over 800,000 followers collectively on just Instagram alone. You'll hear how they were able to quit their full-time jobs, start traveling, and creating content full-time. Hear their amazing travel stories and how they continue to have amazing travels while coaching others on how to make travel a full-time job. If you've ever thought about leaving the 9-to-5 to explore the world, then this is the episode you do not want to miss.
Imagine pursuing your dreams of exploring the world's most exquisite destinations without the extravagant price tag. This is the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast, hosted by DeAndre Koch, founder of Boldly Go and an expert in financial planning as recognized by Forbes. This podcast is your bridge to a world where travel savvy meets luxury. With DeAndre's unique financial planning perspective, you'll glean insights on making the most of credit card loyalty points and miles for travel that doesn't just move you, but takes you places that you may have never thought possible. Expect the most up-to-date credit card strategies for points and miles, stories from successful professionals on how they integrate travel into their busy lives, and other captivating stories from around the globe. Whether you're a seasoned traveler or just starting out, join us in exploring the best of global travel and learn how to experience nearly free luxury travel around the world yourself. Your journey transforms here, igniting our revolution in the world of travel.
Welcome, everybody, to the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast. I'm your host, DeAndre Koch, and I am super excited for who we have today, and we're just going to jump right into this one. We've got Steven with At The Lover's Passport, and I'm just going to throw out a couple numbers to you guys here, right? Over, at the time of this recording, 790,000 followers on Instagram on one account and over 40,000 followers on Instagram on their other account that they just started very recently. So this is travel couple goals right here. And I am super excited to have you on the episode today, Steven. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Yeah, thanks for having us. We're excited to be here. You caught us when we're actually home, so kudos.
Man, I thought that was difficult for me to do. I can't even imagine what it's like with your schedule. So Steven, just, I would love for you to introduce yourself. I know your wife, Giselle, is feeling a little under the weather today, but would love for you to introduce yourself, who you guys are, and the journey that got you to where you are today. Where did The Lover's Passport start? Where is it today? And how's it going?
Oh man, how much time you got?
Man, for you, all the time in the world.
So we've been doing this now for 4 years. We started all of it back in 2020 during COVID. Giselle used to have like a little blog for herself where she would give a bunch of female travel tips. She did a ton of hiking, backpacking. Her mom was a travel agent, so she was very in the whole travel sphere before COVID hit. And then we started dating back in 2018, but so she started that. And then from there, she asked me during COVID, like, hey, would you be interested in doing a couples page? Like, we saw this one couple called Marie and Jake Snow. They have like 1.2 million followers right now, but we saw them traveling, getting paid to travel. We were like, how could we do this? So we didn't know that there was any way to monetize it really. We would go backpacking, road tripping on the weekends, mostly in California, quite a bit when we first started dating. We had tons of people say like, what shoes should I get? Like, I'm interested in going backpacking, but I have no idea where to start. Like, can you? So we decided, so many people were asking us out of just our core friend group where we could probably put out some good advice for a lot of other couples and other people out just there, and Instagram was a great funnel for that. So we started putting out a bunch of free material, and then our little weekend trips turned into international trips. We went to Iceland, and then since then we've flown all the way all around the world, and we found a way to monetize that. Giselle got to quit her job in 2021 from doing all this and making enough income. And then I quit my job last year. Technically, I'm still an owner. I own another Taekwondo martial arts business. So I do that part-time now, and then we do this full-time. But yeah, it's a very, very sped up version of how a small little idea of like a weekend road trip that Giselle had turned into like this full-scale business. Now we have a team of 10 people behind us. And yeah, it's completely changed our life.
That's incredible. So for you, your business was Taekwondo. Did you do anything else alongside that? And then what was Giselle doing before she decided to quit and go into doing this full-time?
Yeah, I did Taekwondo full-time since I was 3 years old. And then my mom started up her own martial arts studio when I was 13. So I was just kind of thrown into that from 13 until I was 21. I was teaching nonstop. I won the gold medal in 2018 for Taekwondo martial arts. So I was trying to get into the Olympics. I had like this whole plan, but then I had to get knee surgery, kind of put all that in the back burner. And then COVID hit, which really put it all in the back burner. So I put all my focus into this. And then Giselle, she graduated from UCSB and then spent 2 years working as a marketing director for a small skincare brand. So it's kind of funny. I had my martial arts studio in the same exact spot for 7 years. And then Giselle called me and was like, hey, I got a job interview finally. Like, I'm super excited. And then she went to her job interview and she calls me afterwards and like, it's across the street from the martial arts studio, which was comical. So we would have lunches together every day, and it was great. Yeah.
That is awesome. That is awesome. So did you, I know she kind of reached out and asked, do you want to start a couples page? Do you want to travel and do these things? You guys already had a little bit of a habit. Do you think the Instagram page that you had and building that and generating the content sparked the start of the more exotic travel like Iceland and other places? Or was that something that you already had a passion for? Both of you growing up was already had a passion for traveling.
We both had very different views of travel growing up. Like, I grew up very, very poor. My parents had me when they were 18. So they never had a lot of money growing up. So we went to just a lot of road tripping and backpacking because camping was free. Most of the time it's free. Now they charge you $40 to go camping in some national parks. But most of the time we could just go and camp for free. So I did a lot of travel just in California. But as I said earlier, Giselle's mom was a travel agent. So she, by the age of 16, already had flown to England. She had studied at Oxford. She'd been to quite a few countries. She studied abroad quite a bit in college. So she had a lot more of like the bucket list travel, adventure travel all around the world, but did not do a whole bunch of the backpacking, sleeping in the back of your car, that type of adventure travel. But she still did a lot of the international stuff. So we kind of merged those together. And we did our first, like, with before we even started the Lover's Passport full-time, we are going headfirst into it. We would still go to like Mexico. We did a great trip to Puerto Vallarta and did a lot of the same stuff. Our first trip, big trip, for the Lover's Passport after that was Iceland, like I said, but we would be going to those places even if we did not start the page because we both love to travel, love to see new things. I proposed to Giselle in Switzerland because she said before we even started, that was her favorite place. She'd gone like and done bungee jumping there and done hang gliding, done all these different things. So we both had a passion for just adventure and travel. And we just, when we first started, our goal was to find a way for the Lover's Passport to pay for our gas so we could go out and travel more. So it never was like a front runner thought like, okay, we want to go and make a ton of money doing this. Like, a lot of people now see influencers and see content creators and like, I want to do that so I can make a ton of money. And we never really had that on the front runner. It just was something that came from doing what we love doing anyway, which was traveling and getting out there.
That's super cool. So I know, who's that joining us?
This is Karen.
Karen, awesome. So for the listeners that aren't watching this on YouTube, we've got a pup that popped up on camera. So awesome. Cameron is on the show as well. Very cool. So Steven, actually talk about the proposal, because That was epic. All right. Like, like when I say epic, that was epic. So I am a huge drone fan. I've had my drone since, well, I've had multiple, but my first drone, I think I got in 2016 or so. I've been drone flying.
Oh man. You were one of the OGs.
Yeah. One of the OGs. Like, I love the cinematography. Love it. Love it so much. And I'm not going to lie. My fiance is probably going to find this out when she listens to this episode. So I got my idea of how to do an epic drone shot during a proposal from seeing the proposal that you did with that drone shot. In Switzerland. So I saw that and I was like, I don't know how I can fly a drone while proposing, so I'm going to have to figure out how to get a drone flyer. And we did. We actually did it in the Maldives with a guy who flew a drone. It was awesome. It was really cool. But I will say your shot with the mountains in the back. Was it the Matterhorn in the background?
Yeah, that was the Matterhorn in the background.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so everyone listening, I'm telling you, you have to follow. Their content is insanely good. And I want to get into like your videography and can't, because I know, like, I think you taught yourself this stuff over the course of the last few years. So
exactly.
But you guys need to see this, because if you've seen our proposal, which we have pinned on our Instagram, like you've got to go watch The Lover's Passport, and the proposal he did was absolutely incredible. So like 10 out of 10, dude, 10 out of 10.
Thank you. Yeah. Hopefully Giselle thinks the same thing.
Very cool. Very cool. So before we jump into learning more about the branding and all the things that you've done, let's just talk travel, right? How many countries have you been to at this point together?
Roughly. I believe we just crossed off 40 different countries together. Most of them being like very close together countries. Like, we haven't done any of South America. We've done quite a bit of Central America, a lot of North America, quite a bit of Europe, almost none of Eastern Europe, and almost none of Africa. So still lots to go to, but 40 countries so far.
Very cool. How do you choose your next destination?
It's a great question. Well, there's a few different things that go into it. Number one, we have like a bucket list of 5 countries where we're always like, these are our top 5 countries we want to go to. But we really base our travel off of whenever we see fare drops. We use 2 different email subscriptions. One is called Fare Drop and the other one is called Thrifty Traveler. And those two alone have saved us probably $50,000, if not more, on travel. Because we fly a lot. Like right now, it's April and we've done 28 flights this year already. So we're going all over the place. So when we are looking for places to go, if we add up all the expenses of the airplanes, it does start to get really, really expensive, because travel is expensive, but there's ways to make it cheap. And those two platforms are great. Like, for instance, when we decided to go to Japan the first time, it was because we got an email from Thrifty Traveler and it was like, typically tickets to Japan are $1,300, but right now they're only 8,000 points plus $100, which is like ridiculously cheap if you understand points and miles travel. So we instantly booked that. Same thing with New Zealand. We were able to fly Giselle, me, and her brother to New Zealand for 27,000 points total and $300 in taxes. So I feel like a lot of the times we find those cheap deals from Fare Drop and Thrifty Traveler. And because we do content creation full time, our flexibility is very good. So we can kind of pick those cheaper flights and head out there. But I'd say that's how we book 80% of our travel. And the other 20% is from clients that to ask us to go to visit Guatemala or visit Sweden, that'll reach out. And then that's why we go to that country.
Very cool. So a big portion of our podcast, what we talk about, is the points and miles game, right? And so one of the things that we focus on a lot is more so the luxury side of that. So, hey, if we're flying from US to Japan, like, let's get that in business class. But I also subscribe to a lot of the alerts that tell me, oh, you know, this place, this New York to, I don't know, Italy, whatever it may be, is looking like X amount of points, which is dramatically lower than normal. Do you, when it comes to you and travel, I know a lot of what you do is also business based as well, but do you try to base it on more of a point strategy, or is it more cash based, or is it just a mixture of whatever is the most efficient between the two for you?
I would say it's a good mixture of whatever is the most efficient between the two of them. Sometimes we have the miles, sometimes we don't have the points to put out, so we'll end up booking it on cash. but it also depends on the location. Like you mentioned, luxury travel. For our honeymoon, we did 15 days in French Polynesia through Bora Bora and such, which if you're paying out of pocket can be like $8,000 a night. But when you're redeeming off of points, obviously much cheaper. So we would go to spend those point redemptions a lot easier compared to if there's a flight that might have good point redemptions, but we can also just pay the couple hundred bucks out of cash. We'll end up doing that.
Very cool. So speaking of French Polynesia, traveling through Bora Bora, having incredible stays, where would you say is some of the most memorable places that you guys have been? So 40 countries is a lot, and there's also way more of the world to see, but what are some of the most memorable stays, places, trips that you've experienced so far to this point?
That is a great question. I feel like whenever people ask this question, I always ask them what they are interested in or what people are enjoy doing when they travel. For instance, for us, all of ours are based off of beautiful destinations and landscapes. That's our favorite place to go and travel. Like for instance, when we went to Japan, everyone was like, did you not only go and just eat all the Japanese food? Like that's the best thing to do out there. What are you doing? And for us, like it was important, it was good, but we really wanted to go and see Mount Fuji and the cherry blossoms and Lake Kawaguchi. Like that was our reason to really go to Japan and experience it compared to what many other people do. So I would say Japan was definitely one of the top ones, going and visiting Mount Fuji for the cherry blossoms. It was like perfect time to be around. Another one that sticks out in my mind is Switzerland. We always say Switzerland is the most fairy tale place we've ever been. There's waterfalls falling from every corner. There's beautiful green grass everywhere, flowers, picturesque blue lakes. So Switzerland was definitely up there. New Zealand as well is probably one of the most diverse, from where you can go to the top of these insane fjords and going out to the Fiordland National Park and seeing Milford Sound. It's just absolutely insane. But directly next to that, they have these beautiful beaches that you would expect to find in like Santa Monica, California, or Hawaii, but they're directly next to these massive Alps. And then a 30-minute drive down the road, you could be hiking in a glacier ice cave. So very, very diverse in New Zealand, which was madness. And then if we're talking about honeymoon experience, I don't know if you can get better than French Polynesia. Like I don't think of myself as a 5-star resort. Let's go relax, sit at the beach. But my goodness, you go to French Polynesia, your whole perspective changes.
We have not been there. So our proposal was in the Maldives. And so we were like, well, where the heck are we going to do a honeymoon if the proposal is in the Maldives? And we actually were talking about maybe like a Bora Bora, Fiji, something along those lines. So I'm liking what I'm hearing here. So
100% recommend. You cannot go wrong. We went to 5 of the islands. We actually just recorded our own podcast talking about this with Rangiroa. We went to Taha. We went to Bora Bora, Moorea, and let's see, and Tahiti. Out of all of them, like Moorea and Bora Bora, like where you need to go. You could probably get away with not going to any of the other islands, in my opinion, if you go to those two, if you really want to just soak up the French Polynesia madness. But if you're into like scuba diving or the really trying to get into like the Tahitian culture, then a couple of the other islands offer a little bit more than those two. But if you're just going for like honeymoon relaxation, like you can't go wrong. Moorea and Bora Bora. What time of the year would you guys say, think of going? Because we would highly recommend October. We actually postponed our honeymoon from July to October so we could go swimming with the humpback whales.
Oh, wow. Wow. Yeah. So we don't have a date set yet for the wedding, but we're looking at later next year, 2025. Nice. And so likely to be past October. But we're definitely doing a destination wedding. And so we're trying to still figure that out, especially for the time frame we're looking at. But that would be really cool. I mean, I didn't actually know that there's a window of time to do something like that. So Taryn and I, we're both divers. And so we've done diving with whale sharks and manta rays and all sorts of things, but I've never been in the water with a whale. A whale, technically, because a whale shark's
not a whale. Are you talking about free diving or scuba diving?
Scuba diving. Yeah.
If you do scuba diving, you have to go to Rangiroa. That place is like hands down the best diving experience we've ever seen. We went swimming with dolphins, but when I say dolphins, I mean like dozens and dozens of dolphins, and they just want to come and hang out with you. I literally got slapped in the head by a fin. They came up to us and our guide was giving them like belly scratches, and he was like, yeah, and you're not supposed to touch them, but that's what they want. They like come up to you and they'll be 6 inches away from your face, just waiting for you to give them they felt like a dog, like giving a belly scratches. So I stop. And the moment I stop, they smack me in the head with their fin. They're like, what are you doing, bro? And they swam away. But it was absolutely surreal. Highly recommend.
That's super cool. So you mentioned your podcast. I'd love for you to shout out the name. We're going to include it in our show notes as well, so the listeners can plug into that one. Because again, I mean, I think you guys are 10 out of 10 when it comes to content in general, and like just great, just great content across the board. But what's the name of your podcast?
It's called Unfiltered Adventures. It's kind of funny. We came up with the idea because a big part of when we were growing is we did all these Instagram versus reality moments, trying to show people like the authentic travel of, okay, you see this beautiful photo or video of Santorini, and then showing like the funny crowds, or showing like, oh, look at me in Guatemala or Iceland experiencing these beautiful hot springs. And there's like torrential rain and hurricane level wind coming by. So we did a lot of those like funny travel mishaps, and that's what the whole podcast, we bring all these other travelers and other content creators in and just talk a lot about the behind the scenes of what goes into it. But yeah, it's called Unfiltered Adventures.
Hey, it's DeAndre here, and we're going to interrupt this episode real quick to tell you about two great opportunities for all of you. First, join our private Facebook community to connect with fellow Points and Miles enthusiasts, get exclusive tips and updates, as well as get your questions answered directly by me and others in the community. And if you're looking to level up your Points and Miles skills, we've partnered with Lux Travel Hacks to offer you 50% off their online course that will teach you all the basics you need to know to learn how to travel in business or first class, all for less than you'd pay for economy. Don't forget to use the code BOLDLYGO at checkout. You'll find all the details and links to both of these in the show notes. Now, let's get back to our episode. So, Steven, let's talk about the Lover's Passport, right? Because from what I gathered with what you actually share with your content, you show the progression of your filmmaking, or you show the progression of your photography. So did you go into this with already having photography or drone flying as a hobby? Did you learn from scratch? I mean, did you literally just use your cell phone and then grow to what you do now? Because I mean, you have some epic shots, like some of the night pictures of stars, time lapses. There's stuff you do, and I'm like, how in the world did he get that shot, right? So how is that? Tell me the start. Tell me what happened. Tell me how that went.
I feel like there's a lot of moving parts that got us to where we were. First off, my dad he's hilarious. He owns this like $15,000 camera lens, right? But all he uses it for is he sits at his desk because he works from home, and he has this little window, and he takes pictures of hummingbirds outside of his window while he's on work calls. So he'll be sitting here working, he sees a little humming. So that's like, he has all this like big fancy equipment. So I grew up around my dad having like a nice camera. We take family portraits every 6 months. We have all these like funny photo book traditions and stuff. So I was always grown up around cameras. I kind of understood I was fine being in front of a camera, and I taught martial arts full time. So I'm used to being talking in front of cameras, used to recording myself. So I bought myself a GoPro probably in like senior year of high school. And from there, I have terrible memory, like the worst memory. I could go on a trip with you, and 6 months later, I'll sit down and I'll tell you the story of how insane this trip was. And you'll look at me and say, bro, I was right next to you with you. So I started recording these like funny YouTube videos or like trip recap videos with my little GoPro in order to remember a lot of the trips. Not that I wouldn't remember going on them, but then could just like relive them. It's like looking back at a photo, but you get a lot more of the feeling from watching a video with it. So that was a little bit of background there. And then Giselle and I used to model for my best friend, Chris. He was the best, one of the best men at my wedding. And he is a professional photographer. So he does landscapes, he does cars. So we would model for him all the time. And he would talk to us about, oh, I want you to do this. And I would ask him questions saying, why are you doing this with your composition? Or why are you doing this? And he would go on and on about aperture and different shutter priorities. And it was all nonsense to me back then. But I think I absorbed quite a bit of that. And then during COVID, we had all this extra time. So I ended up using my COVID stimulus check for the $500. And I bought myself my first camera ever after that. And I was like, okay, I'm going to learn how to shoot this. So I would set up little tomato cans and practice aperture and shutter speed on our little neighborhood walks. I would bring it and Giselle and I would practice taking pictures and stuff because I wanted to learn how to take our own photos, but we just had never done anything. So all of COVID we did. And then ever since then, our rules kind of been like, let's get 1% better. So I'd watch a YouTube video on how to get better at night photography, or I'd watch a YouTube video on how to adjust your aperture quicker and how to stay in focus and all these very boring stuff that no one understands. But when you really dive into photography, you need to become an expert on that. So every single time we took a photo or every trip, we would learn something better. And even today, we've shot hundreds of thousands of photos now. We've shot weddings. We've shot for the biggest brands out there. And we're still learning. I mean, it's never like you're going to stop learning something new. And there's always a new gadget that comes out. And with drones, I think that I've always had an interest in them. And then we bought them probably one year after we first got into photography. And then they're just like a fun little toy. We've recently started to get into FPV, but it just creates such a fun perspective. Most of the times when we get to location, as long as we're not in a restricted area, I'll probably reach for my drone before I reach for my camera, just because that is my personal preference that I enjoy shooting more these days.
Same. I'm 100% the same. I would much rather fly my drone and get great shots and videos. It was rough. We did a 3-week trip to the Middle East last. And yeah, rough. I couldn't bring my drone at all to any of the countries that we were in, Oman, Dubai, Qatar, and I was not trying to get thrown in prison over there over drone flying in the wrong place. So
totally understand that.
Yeah. Yeah. So that is, but that's really cool. So do you guys dually do the flying, the photography and videography? Is that more on you? Is that more her? Is it, hey, she kind of handles more one aspect versus the other? Maybe she does more editing than you? Or how does that work? How do you guys tandem this thing so well?
Great question. That is probably one of our number one questions we get from a lot of couples, because they'll start doing it together. And G and I learned real fast that we would step on each other's toes from the beginning. So we'd go out and take photos, and she'd have a composition idea. I would have a composition idea. Wasn't enough golden light. And same thing with editing. I would edit a photo very differently than her. So we just separated everything out to where typically Giselle will help set up the composition, or I'll set it up and then she adjusts it to put like the fine, I want this in the foreground, or I want more compression here. And then I'll end up snapping the photo after she helps me adjust it, because typically both of us are in the photo. So we're setting it up on a tripod with our little remote, we'll take the photos. And then in the editing process, I don't look at the photos after that at all. Giselle culls through all of the photos. She sorts them. She's the one that does all of the Lightroom edits. She's the one that does all the Photoshop. So she is completely in charge of all the photos after they're taken. And then I take care of all the videography edits. So anything with video where we're shooting videos, where we're setting up videos, any editing behind the scenes, I take care of all of that stuff. So that's how we've kind of separated everything out.
Very cool. So I got to ask, because this has turned into a business, right? You said you have a team of 10 people at this point, and it started with just you guys during COVID saying, hey, do you want to create a couple's Instagram account? Does it get old? And I say that to say, because, you know, they say if you love what you do, it's not work, right? So does the effort and work you put into the content creation, does it ever take away from just the beauty of the travel and the experience?
That is a great question. I feel like we have, in the beginning, it definitely took a little bit more of a toll, because we were in that learning, grind phase, there was a lot more mistakes to be made. So if we were going out to a hike in Hawaii, let's say, instead of only having to set up the shot and take it one time, we might have to set up the shot and take it five or six times, which just would take up a lot more time. So instead of enjoying the sunset and relaxing after we know that we got the photo, which is what happens now, back then it was set up the photo, go get the next photo, get the next photo. I want this angle, throw up the drone, get a video. Oh shoot, do a horizontal and vertical. Don't forget to get, there was just so much because back then we didn't know what worked, right? We didn't know what photos performed best for us. We didn't know our style necessarily yet. But as we progress, that time takes less and less and less time. Like even today, when we're sitting down to edit videos, we're posting 67 times a week, which is like, we're getting out a lot of content. But when I'm sitting down to edit my five videos or six videos for the day, what used to take me hours now only takes me 30 to 45 minutes. So everything just got a lot faster. So I feel like nowadays it does not take away as much. But back when we were first starting, because we weren't used to having to run up for sunrise and take photos, we weren't used to having to go on and engage on Instagram or sit down and write a blog. In the beginning, it's definitely a lot more putting the time in, because we always say, especially now when we coach people, we say you either can invest time or you can invest money. And when you're young and you're just starting, you have a lot of time, you have zero money. Nowadays, it's completely switched, where we have very little time, but we have a lot more money to where we can help outsource to other people. And that's where we've gotten a lot of our time back, where we can hire someone to help us deal with other pieces of our business that might take us way longer, but where they're much more efficient at doing it. So I feel like, hopefully that answers the question. I feel like it definitely in the beginning was a lot more of a struggle to where now I feel like we have a lot more time to enjoy it. But I don't think it ever gets old. I absolutely love it. Giselle might get a little more burnt out some days, you know, because when you travel and you have to wake up at 4 a.m. and go for a hike in order to get content, you know, it comes with the job.
It does. So I think that's a perfect segue, because I want to come back and talk through just with your vast travel knowledge, some of your tips and tricks. You already talked about the sites you follow that give you deals and you talked about points and things like that. So I want to come back to that, but this is a perfect segue to transition to the Creator's Passport, which is the other account you have, which I swear I looked last week and you were at like 30,000 followers, and this week you're at 40,000 followers. So, I mean, your growth is just crazy across the board. Tell us about what the Creator's Passport is.
We used to get a lot of questions on the Lover's Passport. Like, people still ask us today. They're like, what do you do for a living? How are you able to travel? Like, what do you have just unlimited time off? Which I think is still comical. I'm like, do they not understand? Like, this is what we do for a living. But going back to the Creator Pass, we got so many questions about how do we do this? How do we take our own photos? How do you run a successful social media business? And it was really hard for us to watch so many people go through the exact same struggles and they were just wasting so much time. So we've been doing it now for 4 years. Obviously, there's been a lot of failures, but we've also learned a lot from those failures and put systems in place to help us be successful now. So in the Creator Passport, we teach photography and videography. So everything that we've learned now from shooting for Instagram and TikTok all the way up to commercial level films for Toyota, we teach everything in the Creator Passport regarding photography and videography, including drones. And then in terms of growth, we see that some of the best photographers that we know only have 1,000 or 2,000 followers. They just can't, they don't know how to grow. They don't understand the algorithms. So that's where we've come in. We've posted for 865 days in a row without missing a day. So we have a lot of reps in to kind of understand what works and what doesn't. So we also teach growth in the Creator Passport about Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, TikTok, blogs, podcasts. So we teach all of that inside it. And then the last part that people really struggle with that we saw is they don't understand business. And since I ran my own social media business, I'm sorry, my own small business, and since Giselle was a marketing director, we kind of understood a lot more about business than the average Joe Schmo that might be very creative and have these awesome ideas, but has no idea how to sell it or has no idea how to make it profitable. And we have good friends that have over 1 million followers and are making no money doing this, where they're just losing out on such an opportunity. So that we tried to hit those three pain points, and that's where the creator passport came in. It took us like a year to produce, and but that's where it is. We put out daily tips. That's where the growth has come from, is we give out a lot of free information. To if people really put in the effort, they could probably take that free information and learn a lot from it.
Yeah, that's great. And I think you hit on a really key point, because from my side as a financial advisor, I see exactly what you just said, where some of the best, most creative people out there are not the ones that are the most business inclined. And the ones that are the most business inclined typically aren't very creative. The fact that you guys were able to bridge the gap between the two is really incredible, because you've got an eye for, I'm just gonna call it art, basically, between the videos and the pictures that you, photos you take, but also the reels that you put together. But at the same time, you've been able to turn this into a business that's not only supporting you two full time, but supporting multiple other people as well. And as someone who's grown a firm and understands the responsibility to keep growing, to keep feeding mouths, like, it's really cool that you were able to bridge a passion for doing what you love into a business that also helps give back and teach people to not make a lot of the same mistakes that you said that you made, you know, yourself starting out.
Exactly. Yeah.
So when it comes to the creator's passport, how are you really working with individuals? I know you give out a lot of free content, a lot of free tips just through your daily posts, but is it a course? Is it a one-on-one coaching? Is it all of the above? Is it a cohort? How are you guys, what is it that you are delivering from an actual product standpoint?
Yeah, we created a open doors for 4 days course, basically cohort. So we open the doors for 4 days. We have 100 people that are coming in, and then immediately when we hit that 100 number, we shut it. And we've tested and seen that 100 is a good amount of people that we can take the time to individually coach and give everyone the attention they need in order to hit the success in their social media business. For anything over that, we've been part of quite a few of these courses. When we were doing market research, we joined almost all the top ones that we've seen, and they all have these massive 20,000 students in there, and you just get no attention. Going back to when I was saying we looked up to these people that had 1.2 million followers, we actually won one of their contests back when we were just growing. Maybe we were very small, maybe 50 or 100,000 followers back then, and we won a one-on-one with them. And in that one-on-one, we asked them direct questions, like high-level questions, and they gave us no real answer. It was a lot of fluff. It did not help us at all. And we took that and we're like, wow, we don't want to be that at all. So we tried to keep it a very limited amount of people to where we can get them very, very good results. And we've done quite a bit of beta testing on it as well. We have good friends that were interested in content creation that we started like a little mini Patreon as like our beta test. And all of the people that did that are now full-time content creators. Every single one has made it full-time that took the strategies that we kind of taught in there and then have implemented them and are very, very successful. So we just do 3 launches a year. We actually just finished our first one. So we're in there with all the people doing one-on-ones and helping coach them. And it's very, very fun to see when it clicks. I feel like it's a teacher standpoint. Like if you were teaching someone 2 + 2 = 4 and they finally get it, you're like, ah, they did it. And it gives you that like little bit of satisfaction.
That's super cool. So I've got to ask, because you know, on our podcast here, it's all about the travel conversation. We really never get into the talk like this about content creation specifically and all that. But again, you guys have turned travel into a business. You turned a lifestyle into what's now you're doing full time. And I know there's listeners out there that would love to quit their day job and do what you're doing. So I know they're going to have to follow you guys to get the secret sauce, but would love if you could share just a couple of tips on what are just a couple of tips that really could benefit someone that's thinking, man, what do I have to do to go from just looking at the clock every single day, not loving what I do, not being passionate about what I do, to traveling and experiencing the world and generating content and calling that a business? And I know that's a very loaded question. So I know that would take a full course and a full working with you to answer, but just at a super high level, what would you just say to someone that said, what do I need to do to get started?
I have a quote that I love. It's that I took and one of my mentors told me. It says, you don't have to be great to start. You just have to start in order to be great. And I feel like it goes with travel too. Like you have all these Americans and all of these people around the world. Most Americans don't even have a passport and they don't know how to travel. They don't know where to go. It's like the fear of not knowing all of this just makes them never start. And even coaching these 100 people, out of everyone, all of them have the same exact limiting beliefs of, oh, I don't have enough time to put into trying to grow this side hustle, or there's already so many people doing it. Like, what could I bring that no one else has really done? And I think just really taking the time to look at yourself and say, what could I talk to someone about for 30 minutes? Like if I brought someone in and said, I need you to teach this group of 100 people something that you can talk about for 30 minutes nonstop that you're an expert on, what can you do? And that's exactly what you start posting. I think as long as you come into it with a good idea of this is how I can help people and what I feel like I know a lot about, if you know a lot about points and miles, there's full accounts like the point guy. He started off just being another creator. He had all this information that he knew and he started sharing it. We had all this information about where to go and how to travel. We just started sharing it. And now we've taken that same approach to, we have all this information and we know how to do it about becoming a social media content creator, to now we're just sharing it. It can be as easy as that, taking something that you know a lot about and that you're an expert, or not even an expert, if just better at than the majority of people, you can start sharing that. And I think the sky is the limit. But that imposter syndrome of feeling like there's too many people out there and you don't have enough time. My dad used to tell me excuses are like belly buttons. Everyone's got one and yours stinks. Obviously, that's the PG version. But I took that and I've lived with that my whole life. I never make up excuses as far as not having enough time or not having enough anything. Like if you want to do it, there's always going to be an opportunity to be there.
That's awesome. So what's next for you guys as both the Lover's Passport and the Creator's Passport? I know you are rapidly approaching 1 million followers, at least as the Lover's Passport on Instagram. So I know that's a goal, but where would you love to take this journey that you've started?
We would love to see the Lover's Passport obviously go to 1 million followers. Our favorite part is when we meet people out and about now and hear how the information that we've provided has helped change their life. For instance, when we first started the Lover's Passport, we used to sleep in the back of our car. So we taught people how to build this contraption in the back of their 4Runner. So you can pack everything in, you can sleep in the back of your car, you can road trip. This is how we do it affordably and creating itineraries. So we've been recognized all around the world now while we're out eating a sandwich. People walk up and say, oh my gosh, are you the Lover's Passport? I planned my entire trip. It was the best trip of my life from following one of your videos. So having that satisfaction and continuing to help people that feel like they can't travel get out there, like I think that's definitely our goal, to continue doing with the Lover's Passport. And hopefully the goal of the Creator Passport is to do the same thing, to teach people what we do and how we can do it. Because there's always room to grow every year, year over year. The social media marketing business has doubled and tripled. It's like travel after COVID. It's just exploded. It's the same exact thing has happened with TikTok coming out and Instagram continuing to grow and YouTube exploding. So there's so much room out there to grow. So hopefully helping teach people to do exactly that.
Well, going back to what you said about the itinerary side of things, at this point, what are some tips around how do you plan your itinerary out? And in general, what are some just tips and tricks that you found through your various travels? And of course, it's evolved from, you know, staying in your car to honeymooning in Fiji and Bora Bora. So I know that's a huge evolution, but I'd love if there were some tips that you had outside of, I think it was huge that you said, just get started, just do it, get a passport, go experience the world. But would love to hear, what are some tips that you do have around creating an itinerary? I know that can vary from place to place, right? It's going to be very different than itinerary in Hawaii versus Iceland. But we'd love to hear some tips that you might have for the listeners as far as when they are crafting a journey or trying to plan a trip.
That is a great question. I feel like it changes, like you said, obviously varied on the destination, but we go through like a 4-step process every time we're planning an itinerary, where the first thing we do is go into blogs. We love reading blogs because we have our own blog where we give people itineraries. So we'll go, we have a couple friends that between the 20 of them, they've probably been to every country in the world. So we'll go and read their blogs, see if they have any information. That's always where we start. Second is we love going to Instagram and TikTok. People don't think of them, I guess, as Google, but they basically are. There's so much information and free resources out there where you can go into them and use them as a search engine. So second, after we go and research all the blog, we'll kind of cross-correlate that, because we are photographers, with what do they look like? What is the views? When's the best time to go? Is there a certain season where a special event, like in Japan, going in January compared to going in March, completely different experiences from skiing to cherry blossoms. So really researching on TikTok and Instagram, where is the best time to go? And then typically after that, we like to go into Google Earth and see if we can find any hidden gems within those locations. Like for instance, in Utah, when we were planning our Southwest road trip, after looking at everything that was in the blogs, everything that was on Google or Instagram and Pinterest and TikTok, when we went into Google Maps, there was so much other hidden gems that we were able to find and explore, and places that might have not blown up on Instagram or TikTok yet, but that are still very hidden gems just from taking a look through Google Earth. And then I feel like the last way that we really do is check out YouTube or see if there's any other like hidden resources that we haven't found. But YouTube also has some really, really good itineraries and different locations. You can find just about everything on there.
Very cool. Thank you for sharing that. So I'd love to hear what's next on your itinerary. What's next on the journey this year? All right, where are some of the destinations you're excited about?
The next one we're going to is the Dominican Republic, which we absolutely love if you've never been. It's such a beautiful place, very underrated.
What part of the Dominican Republic? Because I've been a few times, so I've been in different areas. But what part are you going to, and what part's your favorite?
Samana and the northern part is our favorite so far. That's probably where we've seen that you get away from the tourists of Punta Cana. Punta Cana is great if you're just going for like an all-inclusive, but if you're trying to get away from that and really see the Dominican Republic, see all the beautiful waterfalls and stuff, Samana was very, very cool.
Awesome. And then beyond the Dominican Republic, any other really cool destinations that you guys are going to or are excited, are any super high bucket list countries that I know you said you have the top five? Any ones of those that you're going to be checking off anytime soon?
Norway is probably next. We're doing a big group trip with a bunch of our buddies out to Norway this summer to head out to the Lofoten Islands. We were actually just there in March, but we were chasing the Northern Lights. So very different experience being there with all the snow and the reindeer everywhere and the Northern Lights, which were magical. So in summer, we're going back to do a lot of the hiking trails because they were very, very unsafe to do during winter. So we'll go back again and try and capture some summer content.
That's awesome, Stephen. So much great information that you've given today. Would love to hear any final tips, any final thoughts, anything else you would just love to share with the listeners, because you've provided a wealth of knowledge, great ideas, great tips, and you've shown a complete other side of life, which is, hey, creating content can be not just a lifestyle, but it can be a full business if you know how to do it right. And you guys are the people, the experts that can show people how to do it. Any other final thoughts that you have?
That is a great question. I already said my two favorite quotes. I feel like the third thing that I was told by my mentor a long time ago is to surround yourself with people that are much smarter than you and that you want to be like. So if you want to get more into travel and your friends do not travel, you need to go and find people that do, because those are the people that will push you to go on more trips and to have more community. Just like if, let's say, you want to try and get into the social media world, if, for instance, we don't talk about anything we do really with our close home friends, very, very different life when we're home, but we do have a close group of other creators that we have found and DM'd and now communicate with on a weekly basis over online, and just surrounding ourselves through that online space completely opened our eyes to a lot more things. So I think just really looking at the people around you and seeing if what they're doing is where you want to go. And if not, you can obviously still keep them, but looking out and trying to find other people to surround yourself with to push you. I always think that people get so comfortable doing the same thing day after day and then complain about not being where they want to be. When instead of complaining, if they just switched their mentality about it and surrounded themselves and put themselves in those situations, the opportunities to travel would be much higher.
Awesome. 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 So Steven, I already shouted out your handles multiple times during this episode. Usually I like to ask, you know, how could the users connect with you? I don't think they're going to have any problems finding you, because if you just start typing the in Instagram, you're going to pop up. But if they do want to learn more about the courses you provide, the training you provide, and want to work with you and get that one-on-one, that intimate coaching experience, should they go to a specific website? Should they DM you on the Creator's Passport? What would be the best way for someone that wants to connect with you and go beyond just following your journey, but also wanting to really see how they can do what you have done for themselves?
Yeah, I think if you just shoot us a DM, I know quite a big few big accounts don't, where you never hear a response from the DMs, but we get back to every single person that sends us a DM. So if you ever have any questions, we check it every day. We haven't missed a day in 860 something days. We love it.
Awesome. My last question for you, who else should we have on this show?
That is a great question. Other travel, people in travel?
Yeah. Who? Yeah, exactly.
We have these two, they're actually in our Creator Passport cohort right now. They are on their mission to be the youngest couple to travel to every single country in the world. Their name is Hudson and Emily. And I believe that's their handle too, Hudson and Emily on Instagram and TikTok. They are fascinating people. So if you guys really want to talk travel, would highly recommend either them or one of our other friends was the youngest female to travel to every single country in the world. Her name is Lexi Limitless. Would highly recommend either of those two travel geniuses. We love them.
Awesome. So I didn't hear or, I heard and. So we're going to connect with both of them because I want to hear both of their stories and share those stories with the listeners as well. Steven, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on the show today. You've been a wealth of knowledge, great tips, great advice. You're living the dream, and you know, the name of this podcast is Revolutionizing Your Journey, because it's really about doing travel different, experiencing it different, whether that's because you're now flying business class to Japan or other parts of the world when you would have never dreamed of being able to take a ticket like that, or hiking around different places around the world, or hiking Mount Kilimanjaro, or in your case, turning travel into not just a lifestyle, but a full-blown business and career, and still having fun doing it. I applaud you for embodying the boldly go spirit and really just doing the journey different, revolutionizing it. Kudos to you, man.
Thank you. Thank you for having us. A lot of fun.
Thank you so much. For the listeners out there, you've heard it here first. Giselle and Steven, they've got great information, great content, and they are the leaders in this game. They've created an incredible life for themselves, and they also want to help you create an incredible life for yourself as well. Make sure to follow them. Follow both accounts, at the Creator's Passport and at the Lover's Passport, because you're going to get a lot of different information, and also listen to their podcast as well. I know you're going to hear some really incredible stories. As always, don't forget to like, subscribe, tell your friends. Tell your friends about the Lover's Passport as well. I think they would love to see the content that's getting put out there. And we'll catch you on the next episode. Have a great day.
Thanks for tuning in to the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast, brought to you by Boldly Go. Hit that follow button so you don't miss out on new episodes. For deeper insights and to level up your travel game with our strategies, make sure to follow us on our social media platforms and sign up for our newsletter to stay in the loop. Head over to www.boldlygo.world to learn more. As DeAndre is not operating through this podcast as a fiduciary and/or financial advisor, this should not be considered personal financial advice. The information covered and posted has been made available for informational and educational purposes only. The strategies and results referenced on this site while proven, are not guaranteed. While most who apply the principles referenced will achieve similar results, you may not yourself. Your results will vary and depend on many factors that may be in or out of your control, but include factors such as your credit score, financial status, business experience, etc. It is your responsibility to consume and implement these recommendations at your own risk. We cannot be held responsible for any failure to do so.
Luxury flights and hotels can be had for free. The world of points and miles sounds too good to be true, but it's actually real, but only if you know what you're doing.
On Frequent Miler on the Air, Greg and I'm Nick, discuss all the ways to earn points and miles and use them for outsized value.
Join us every Friday for our full episodes and every Tuesday for our quick, single-topic coffee break episodes.
See you there.